Well, I hope this morning that you still have some receiving in your bottle.
We are ready to receive.
Amen. We're hungry.
Amen.
We heard there was another survey last night, later after the meeting, that maybe you were not aware of. Brother took a little walk around the building and saw there was a number of your lights still on after midnight. Anyway, we just hope this morning you could be awake.
Amen.
You could be receiving.
Amen.
Not for my sake, but for the Lord's sake.
Amen.
We believe the Lord has some speaking for us.
Amen.
So it's been so enjoyable to be here and to hear this theme all week. Maybe we could repeat the theme again. Let's declare it together. Ready? Go. Hey, don't forget the last part, right? We are in an age of godlessness, but we're not focused on that. We're focused on the first part, but we happen to live in the second part. So let's declare it again. So this morning we're going to talk about we've talked quite a bit about this age of godlessness. And this morning, if you look at the title for message 7, it kind of looks at things from the other side. How should we be in this age of godlessness? Okay, so let's read the title together. Okay, let's declare it again. Strong spirit.
Becoming the mystery of godliness in an age of ungodliness.
Okay, you might not be too familiar. You know, there's some mysteries in the universe. And we saw the other day, some people say there is no God. Actually, the Bible says God is a mystery. No one has ever seen God. All right, God is mysterious. He's invisible. He's unapproachable. He's a mystery. So how can men know God? The mystery of God is Christ.
Amen.
Right? Then people would say, well, show me Christ. Where is Christ? Christ is another mystery. Right? But the Bible says the mystery of Christ is the church.
Amen.
You want to see God? You have to come to Christ, right? It says the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him.
Amen.
So this man, this God-man Jesus, He was God manifested in the flesh.
Amen.
On the earth.
Amen.
When He walked on the earth, even He told the disciples, you see me, you see the Father.
Amen.
Right? You want to see God? Look at me. Right? Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh. Okay? Then, you want to see Christ? Today we would tell people, come to the church.
Amen.
The body of Christ. Right? The mystery of Christ is the church. If you want to see Christ, you have to come to His body. His body is the manifestation of God in the flesh on the earth today.
Amen.
Okay, so there's two more mysteries we're going to talk about today. Maybe you're not that familiar with these two mysteries. You know, we pass around, we share the gospel, we call it the, sometimes we use the gospel tract called the mystery of human life. Even human life is a mystery, right? Anyway, there's a couple more mysteries. One is called the mystery of lawlessness. Okay? And we've heard a little bit about that starting Monday night. Okay? And it's been around a long time, right? Since the fall of man. But this mystery is very, what would you say, very pernicious, very evil. And It's something that is, the Bible says, it is now operating in the world. Okay? It's a mystery of lawlessness. Okay? And one day, this mystery will culminate in a person. Okay? In fact, the Bible calls him the man of lawlessness. Okay? And we know from the study of the Bible that this is referring to the Antichrist who will come and will change the laws and will himself be totally lawless. Okay? But the age that we are living in is, it says, this mystery already now is operating. Wow. In the world. And it is operating. We've seen it this week. So we want to consider a little bit more. What do we do? What should be our stand? How can we stand in the age of lawlessness? Okay? I mean, we could go over, in fact, you know, this week we covered maybe not everything, but we covered some really strong highlights of this evil age that Noah lived in, that Lot lived in, that these ones of old lived in, that the Lord, it got to a point where it said it grieved him in his heart that he had made man. Okay, and he could no longer strive with the flesh, with man of flesh. And so he came to destroy the earth and all the living creatures upon the earth. Okay, well, it's very interesting, and this morning we're going to get into it. Maybe I hope you all got your Bibles ready, because we're going to look up some verses. So this is one mystery we're going to look at, is the mystery of lawlessness. Then there's another mystery, and this is a very great mystery. These two are opposites. Amen. The other mystery is called the mystery of godliness. Okay? Which you could say is also now operating in the world. Okay? In fact, when the Lord Jesus was incarnated, you know, Jefferson drew the diagram on the board the other day. When the triune God entered into humanity, that was the first time God mingled with man. This one man on the earth, he had two natures. He was divine and he was human, right? He was a true God, yet he was a very genuine man. He was a man like us in all respects, except he was without sin. Wow. Right? He was a perfect God-man. So God was manifested in this person, Jesus Christ. This is the mystery of godliness. God being manifested in the flesh. Okay, well, we'll see that today this manifestation is still taking place. God is still being manifested today in the flesh. And he still desires to be manifest. But a lot depends on, will we cooperate and will we allow him the way? Will we enjoy him like we heard this week? It's so good to be reminded again and again. We need to read the Bible. We need to pray over the words of the Bible. We need to enjoy Christ. We need to partake of the divine nature. We need these words of God to get into us and fill us and nourish us and fill our whole being. We need these divine attributes that we heard about all week. Fill us. We're not here only praising God for his divine attributes. We do. We worship him. There's none like him. There's no other person like him. But the goal is that these divine attributes would not remain in just him, but they would fill us. Amen. Fill our human virtues. Amen. I love these attributes. Amen. That God's righteousness could come into me. Don't you want to be righteous? Don't you want to be not just objectively covered by Christ as our righteousness, but have Christ as your righteousness come out in your living.
Amen.
Right? And God's love and His mercy. Very often I find out I'm not too merciful. I'm not too merciful toward others. Okay? We need mercy. We need the Lord's compassion.
Amen.
To fill us, to fill our virtues, to fill our whole being. Anyway, all these attributes could fill our human virtues.
Amen.
And the Lord would have a way on the earth through our enjoyment of Him.
Amen.
Not by our effort, not by our determination, not by our morality and our good ethics, not by being a good man according to the tree of knowledge, but by partaking of the tree of life.
Amen.
We could enjoy Him and be filled with Him.
Amen.
And express Him.
Amen.
This is the mystery of godliness.
Amen.
God manifested in the flesh on the earth.
Amen.
This is His desire.
Amen.
Okay, well, He needs some. And it's not easy because the whole world is going in a very strong direction. And I don't know if you've ever been in a river with a very strong current. One time I went on, this was several years back, I went on a college outing and we decided to go canoeing on this trip. And one by one I saw the canoeing of the students going, turning over, and I thought, there's no way, I'm not going to do that. And then as we were going down the river, all of a sudden the branch came this way and we went just a little bit like that, boom, in the water. And I don't know if you've ever been in a river or a situation where it becomes a little overpowering, where you can't control it. It's stronger than you, right? We had one time a number of years ago, we lived very close to Lake Michigan. And when my son was in high school, he had a bunch of high school brothers come over, and they all went swimming in the lake. And not too many people know this, but Lake Michigan has a very strong undercurrent. And one of the brothers got out there a little bit too far. And we began to notice he couldn't come back. He couldn't get back. And so my wife was out there, and she just starts screaming, calling on the Lord. And I believe the Lord heard her prayer. You know, some men ran out on this pier and tied these piles together and threw it out to him and pulled him back, you know, and got him to come in. So later on, we went back. You know, we felt pretty bad. We had his parents come pick him up. And we went back over to the lake later in the afternoon to show them where this took place. And there was a bunch of police cars there. So we got parked our car, and I was walking over by the police. I said, well, how come you're here? And they said, a young high school boy just drowned. I said, no. He almost drowned. He's here. He made it. He got in. They said, no, there was another one, you know, who didn't make it. Anyway, I think sometimes, you know, especially if you're young and you're strong, you might think, I can make it, I can overcome, I can get back, and there's no problem. You don't realize how strong the current is. So, we're in the world. And you might think, I can make it. Like, for instance, let me have two brothers come up here this morning. Maybe you two brothers, could you come up here for a second? I heard this once. Actually, I read this once in the ministry. There's a married couple in the Bible.
Praise the Lord.
Or talked about. Anyway. This one here is a husband, and this one here is the wife. Okay, this one here is the wife. She's called Mrs. World. Okay. Mrs. World is a lot sweeter than her husband. Okay? So sometimes we might like to, you know, just have a little friendship with the world. But we don't realize Mrs. World is married. Mr. Sin comes with her. Okay? So you might, like the brothers described the other day, you just like to have, and I've been caught by this. You might just like to have a little, entertainment. You know, let me just turn on the TV a little bit and see what's going on. And just enjoy a little bit of Mrs. World. Okay? But then all of a sudden this guy shows up. I didn't invite him, but he's there. Okay? So, okay, thanks. So, it's very clear. The Lord says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. If you have friendship with the world, we have enmity with God. Okay? And we know that you touch the world, you touch sin. And sometimes it's a stronger current than you can handle. And before you know it, you're kind of going downstream. So, this morning we want to talk about where are we and what can we do? Okay? How can we stand? So, the first verse I'd like you to look up is John 17. This is a verse the Lord prayed right before he was crucified. Okay, he knew that he was leaving, and he had a prayer. Okay. So, if you look at this very sweet prayer. Do you know who he's praying for here? He's praying mainly for his disciples. He loves them. He's been with them for 3.5 years. He cares about them. He shepherded them. He gave himself to them. He spoke to them. He trained them. He did so much for them. And now, physically, he's departing. Right? He's no longer going to be with them as a God-man in the flesh. Okay? So what does he do? He's praying. He knows his time is come for him to depart, to go out of this world. Look at verse 9. It says, I ask concerning them. I do not ask concerning the world. He's not praying for the whole world at this point. He's asking concerning those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all that is mine is yours, and yours mine, and I have been glorified in them. That means he's even been expressed, even in the disciples. In verse 11, and I am no longer in the world, yet they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Now what does he say? Keep them. Keep them in your name, which you have given to me. Okay, that they may be one even as we are one. Okay, so then look at verse 14. He said, I have given them your word. So he's given us his name. He's given us his word. He says, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you would take them out of the world. So sometimes we hear these stories about Noah and the age he was living in, and we can relate. Oh man, this is just like today. Or you read about Lot and what was happening in his time, and you find out, oh, that's very similar to what's going on today. And you may have a thought, and you would not be the first one who's had this thought. Let me out of here. Right. I want to get out of the world. Okay? So, if you read church history, you'll find out Many believers had this thought, and so they fled. There was actually people in the early centuries, right after Christ, you know what they did? They went and they went and lived in the caves. They wanted to get away from the city and get away from all evil and sin and everything, and so they went and lived in the caves. But later on, they found out it didn't quite work, because not only the problem is with outside, but the problem is with inside. It's in me. Okay, I can run away from the world outside, but I still got a problem in me. Okay, so the Lord prayed, verse 15, I do not ask that you would take them out of the world. Okay, so what does that mean? We have to stay here. We have to go through this place. Okay, but he prayed that you would keep them. He's praying to the Father, Father, keep them.
Amen.
Out of the hands of the evil one.
Amen.
Okay, they are not of the world. Okay, we should testify. We are not of the world.
Amen.
The Lord said, even as I am not of the world, so sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Okay, so we have to live in this world. That should be the first thing we get clear. We live in an evil age. What are you going to do? Sorry, you can't run away. You can't hide. You can't be resurrected and be raptured and get out of this place. You have to live here. You have to go through this age.
Amen.
Okay, so how do we go through? How can we be kept? This was the Lord's prayer. Keep them from the evil one. Right? And be glorified in us. We don't want to only just on the defense be kept from all the evil things of the age, but we want to positively be an expression of God manifested still in the flesh today. Okay, so let's look at another verse, Philippians 2:15. How about sisters? You read this one. Wait till everybody gets it. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 15. Okay, sisters, read it. Strong spirit. And then the next phrase.
Holding forth the word of life.
Okay, so now here Paul picks up the same burden. How should we conduct ourselves in this age? We should be blameless, guileless, children of God, without blemish. Where? Right in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation. And how should we be? Among whom you shine. We want to be those who shine as luminaries.
Amen.
In the world.
Amen.
The Lord needs luminaries. So you think about it in your campus, in your locality. What does the Lord hope that we would be? Hopes that we would all be luminaries. Luminaries in the world. And what else? Holding forth the word of life. Okay, so I just like to give a little testimony. When I got saved in a dormitory, and this was 1969. This is still the time of the anti-war stuff going on the campus with the Vietnam War, and a lot of hippies all over the place, and young people with long, crazy hair, and grubbier clothes as you could find, and it was part of the age of lawlessness, and immorality was going on a lot, and experimentation with drugs was happening a lot. Okay, right in my dorm. In fact, the guy right next to me, in the room next to me, got arrested for selling drugs. Anyway, We were right in the midst. And I didn't know it till later on. I found out after I got saved. There were seven brothers on the same floor in the same dormitory. And they preached the gospel to me. And these brothers, I have to testify to this day, this was some 40-some-5 years ago, these brothers, they were luminaries. Okay? They stood out. You know why? They weren't weird. They weren't strange. They were just shining. They lived a normal God-man life. They had some expression of God being manifested through them. In fact, that's how I got saved. I told them. I said, I never heard you guys anything foul ever come out of your mouth. You don't smoke. You don't drink. There's no immorality at all with you brothers. My question to them was, how do you expect to relate to everybody around here? That's when they asked me, are you really a Christian? This put me on the spot. These brothers were God men. They were luminaries. They were luminaries in the dorm where they lived, right in the midst. We could not change our environment. We couldn't go to the school administration and tell them, get rid of all these guys in our dorm. You know, no, you can't do that. You have to live there. You have to learn how to live in the world. So if you throw a dead piece of wood in the river with current, it's just going to go wherever the current goes. But if you have a living fish full of life, that fish can go the other way. You can go against the current.
Amen.
Okay, these brothers, I knew that they were getting some mocking. I could tell, you know, that they were under a little persecution. Okay, but they stood and they had life. They were in the Word. They came down to my room in the mornings, got me started to read the Bible and to pray a little bit in the mornings. They had life. And they were able, right in the midst, to be a testimony in the world and even bring fruit bearing, bring others to salvation. So, well, this morning, we better get started on this outline. How about we read the first Roman numeral? Let's read it all together. Okay, this is the meaning of the whole universe. Right? Why did God create the heavens and the earth? It's for His expression. And we heard this week, you can say God, actually it's not what we can say, it's what the Bible says. God is manifested even in creation. Right? In the Romans 1:20. Says His eternal power, His divine characteristics are clearly seen. Right? You just look. That's why, like Tom Wells shared the other night, I think many of us, like to get out. Go see creation. Creation is a manifestation of God. Okay? In His beauty, in His power, in His might. Okay, to see what God has created is wonderful. And it is an expression of God. Okay, so, but God wants to be expressed. He was expressed in creation. He was expressed even through the Ten Commandments. It testified who He was. He's a righteous God. He's a holy God. He's fair. He's loving. He's considerate. Right? He's this kind of wonderful God with these attributes expressed through creation and through the law. Then He was manifested, expressed through the God-man Jesus. And still today, He wants to be expressed. He wants God to be manifested. Only today is through us, through the new creation. Right? He wants to be expressed in the new creation. That's God. living among the saints and in the saints.
Amen.
This gives the whole universe meaning.
Amen.
So God's eternal purpose, his ultimate intention is to manifest, to express himself. Right? We heard the other day, he predestinated us unto sonship.
Amen.
According to the good pleasure of his will. Right? This is according to his desire that he would be expressed. And B, God's plan is not to manifest himself directly. So you think about it, if God is a mystery, he never, well, it seemed like for a long time he didn't manifest himself too obviously. Where is he? He's invisible. Why do you do that? Right? He doesn't want to manifest himself necessarily directly, but indirectly. Through creation, through the law, through this God-man Jesus. But now he wants to be manifested through the church, through the believers, through us. He desires to be manifested through humanity. This is why he made us in his image and led us to have dominion. He wants us to express him and represent him on the earth. Okay, how about brothers, read number 2, Roman numeral 2.
The burden of the entire world today is against God's desire. Hence, today we should live a life as an anti-testimony to the world.
Okay. Now we're coming to the matter of how we should live. Okay. It's just a fact. You're either going to be in that river going downstream, or you're going to have life, life power, and life ability, and a supply, and be energized to go against the age.
Amen.
It's either one or the other. Okay? In fact, you could say all mankind, they're either going downstream or they're going upstream. Okay? There's no other choice. And mainly, if you are not born again, and you do not allow this life in you to grow, and if you're not being supplied and energized day by day, there's no way you can overcome. You just go down.
Amen.
The current of the age.
Yes.
Okay, so we need to live a life. How can we live a life as an anti-testimony? You know, there's one person in the book of Revelation. His name was called Antipas. Anti, we know, means against. Okay? Antipas meant against all. Okay? Maybe, I don't know, if you ever got in a debate or an argument, you might be a kind of person like, okay, you win. I don't want to argue. I don't want to fight. Okay? Well, in one sense, it doesn't matter what kind of person you are. As a believer, you know, the Lord said, the world hates you because it hated me first. Okay? You didn't choose to be hated, but you got born again. You're going to be hated. In fact, the Bible says, all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. So we should not be surprised. We will be persecuted. People will speak evil about you and will reproach you and make fun of you and mock the gospel. This is going on today. So, what should we be? We should be an Antipas. Against all.
Amen.
How can you be that kind of person? Maybe none of us are that kind of person. It's like, I don't want to fight anybody. I don't want to argue. Just leave me alone. Sorry, they're not going to leave you alone. They hate you.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
Either you swim upstream or give up and just be dead like everybody else and float down the river. Okay? So you have to be an anti-testimony.
Yes.
So, on the one hand, the Lord prayed that we would be kept from the evil one.
Yeah.
But also, that we would be that he, the Father, would be glorified.
Amen.
Through us.
Amen.
That we would be luminaries.
Amen.
So we're not just taking the defense, oh, keep me from everything evil, keep me from the world, keep me from sin. Okay? But also we want to, Lord, I want to express you.
Amen.
I want you to be manifested.
Amen.
Through me and through us brothers together.
Amen.
I think it'd be great. I don't know. I have not heard since the time I got saved of anywhere that had seven brothers living on the same floor in the same dormitory. You know? I think it'd be great still. And I know that we recommend you all live in brothers' houses or sisters' houses. That's very good, and maybe it's very necessary today. Okay, but on the other hand, don't completely flee away from everything and everybody. Right? We're in the midst. We're in the midst of the world.
Amen.
If you're going to be a luminary, who are you going to be a luminary to? Right? We got to be a luminary.
Amen.
To those around us.
Amen.
Those in our classes.
Yeah.
Those in our dorms.
Amen.
Those on our campus.
Amen.
We have to shine forth.
Amen.
Okay, so this morning, we like to see, it's really good. The Lord gave us, like we talked about the other night, He gave us a very great treasure. It's the Bible. And if you read the Bible, you find out, hey, I'm not the first one going through this. I'm not the first one who had to pass through the world. I'm not the first one who had to live in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation. Okay, so it's worthwhile to look at what did those brothers do back then? What did they do? How did they live? How did they make it? How did they swim upstream? Okay, so we're going to look at the first one here. Is Noah. And I know we talked about him a little bit the other night, and we're not going to go into all the details again about the age that he lived in. I think you all got clear concerning that. It was an evil age of wickedness. So, eventually all flesh corrupted itself, and the Lord came to destroy the earth and all the living creatures upon the earth. Okay, how about brothers read A, 1 and 2.
For just as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. God guarded Noah, a herald of righteousness, when he brought the flood upon the world of the ungodly. The world in Noah's age was judged by God with the flood, due to the sinfulness and ungodliness of that age. Ungodliness is the failure to express God. To live an ungodly life is to live in the flesh, in the lust of men, not in the will of God.
Okay. We heard the other night, what is ungodliness? Ungodly means without God. The Bible says we were all at one time without God in the world. Okay? And still ungodliness is going on. Ungodliness is not only without God, it's denying God. It's denying God's existence. And why do most people deny God's existence? It's so that they can live whatever kind of life they can live without any kind of thought that they would have be judged or be recompensed in any way for their behavior. Okay, so they live an immoral and evil life, ungodly. Then, of course, this leads to not believing in God, not respecting God, living an outrageous and unacceptable life before God. So what did Noah do? So I have, this morning, I think it's good to consider, we don't want to leave you with just a very strong impression that this age is so evil and we got to be kept out of this age and don't touch this age and we need to be an anti-testimony, but not give you a practical way. How are we going to do this? Okay, so let's look at how Noah did this. Noah, if you look at Noah's life, Noah was an anti-testimony.
Amen.
Noah lived, he lived right in the midst. Okay? So the very first thing, maybe you could jot some of these down. I hope you can see this in the back. If not, if you need to stand up, take a look. It's okay. So we'd like to look 7 points about Noah that can help us to learn how we should live in this age of ungodliness. Okay? First of all, like the song we sang, Noah was a person finding grace. Okay? You want to overcome? You want to swim upstream? Do what Noah did. What did Noah do? What did Noah do? He found grace. He found grace. Okay? You say, where is grace? I don't know. You better find it. Okay? The Bible says God is not far from any one of us. Right? It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. We need a seeking, morning by morning. Seek to find grace. Maybe like you've experienced this week. I think many of you have testified. Sometimes you found grace in the Word. Sometimes you found grace in the Lord's name. Just calling upon the Lord's name. Sometimes you just opened your heart and just prayed. And boom, there's grace. There's a supply. Right? Maybe you're learning, like Jason shared with us the other night, learning how to pray over the words of the Bible to find grace, find a supply. Grace is a person. Right? It says the law was given through Moses. Grace came through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You want to find grace? Find Christ.
Amen.
Right? The Bible says, come forward. Okay, in the morning, you wake up. It's my experience. Wake up every morning, you just don't feel like coming anywhere. I feel like going back to bed. The Bible says, come forward. What does that mean? Get out of yourself. Exercise your inner being. Begin to open your mouth. Lord Jesus, I come to you. Oh Lord, open me.
Amen.
Come again. I want to find you. Find grace. Find supply.
Amen.
For timely help. Amen. We need help. Amen. If you don't find grace, how can you stand? How can Noah stand?
Right.
He had to find grace.
Amen.
Every day. Amen. And grace, Paul told Timothy, the Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Right? Grace be with you. Where is grace? Grace is God, is our portion, is our enjoyment.
Amen.
He's in grace is in Christ. Christ is available today as the Spirit.
Amen.
When we open to Him, we find grace.
Amen.
Grace is with our spirit.
Amen.
So that's the very first secret. You want to pass through this age? If you think you can stand up to this age without finding grace, you're kidding yourself. You're going to be overcome by the current. Okay? So, we need to find grace. Then, number two, we should do what Noah did. Walk with God. Okay, what does that mean? Not just in the morning, find grace. But we have to learn how to walk our daily life. Walk with God. Okay, maybe we can look at some other verses very quickly here. How about turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, starting in verse 37. This is very good. Are you still awake? Okay, how about we all stand up and read this? Let's get a little exercise flowing through our veins, a little blood circulation. Okay, how about brothers read one verse and then sisters read one? Verses 37 to 44.
Amen.
Okay, but don't read it in a weak way. Read it in a strong spirit.
Amen.
Okay, brothers, go.
For just as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be.
Amen. Okay, thank you. Okay, so these verses tell us very clearly, just as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be the same at the time of the Lord's second coming. We are getting near to the time of the Lord's second coming.
Amen.
A couple of brothers were here and they left a couple of days ago to go on the trip to Israel. And I know Jason's been there, Ken's been there, I've been there, maybe some of you have been there. It's impressive to go see that the Bible says the Lord will return.
Amen.
He's coming again. And even in some respects, the people in Israel, some of them are preparing outwardly for the rebuilding of the temple and for the reestablishing of the service and so many things. Our brother Adam works over there, right?
Yeah.
So things are happening, and we know outwardly in the environment, in the political environment today, Israel is still kind of the focus of so much world attention. Okay. Anyway, you can study the prophecies and you can look at things outwardly. That's true, and we should know concerning the things about the Lord's second coming. But the Bible also tells us we need to get ready ourselves. We need to be prepared as the bride. Okay, we need to have the same life, the same nature as Christ to be able to match him when he comes. So what was happening in the days of Noah is going to be the same as what's happening at the time of the Lord's coming. What was happening? People were just eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage.
Wow.
Sounds like, well, what's so bad about that? Everybody needs to eat and drink and be married, and it's normal. Okay, that's true. But if you're given wholly to be totally occupied and consumed with all the things of the age and of the world, you're going to miss that the Lord is coming as he did in Noah's time also to judge the earth. Okay, so what does this say right after that? It's kind of strange. It's talking about the Lord's coming, talking about the time of Noah, and then all of a sudden it talks about two men are working in the field and two women are grinding at the mill. What does that got to do with it? Well, these ones working in the field, one of the two, was walking with God. The other one, sorry to say, was not. They were going down the river the other way. So one was taken, one was left. But it's very interesting to see, what were they doing? They were working. They were living a normal human life. And we've heard stories you can read in the life study of the book of Matthew. You find out there has been some misconception among believers in the past. People think, oh, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming soon. I know he's coming. And I better get ready. So what should I do? I better go be super clean and go take a super bath. And be all fresh and put on all white garments. And go up on the top of my roof and pray and tell the Lord, I'm ready, come take me. Okay? Well, this actually apparently happened in the past. Some adults did this and they didn't take care of their kids. And so I think there was some trouble that occurred. You know, and people have these kind of concepts now and then that, forget it, I'm not going to work. I'm not going to go to school. The Lord's coming. Well, who needs school anyway? Why should I work? And, you know, I don't need to worry about the future. So, actually, that thought, on one hand, yes, we desire not to be in the world. On the other hand, sorry, we're in the midst. And we have to go through. And we have to live a normal life. And so we should give ourselves. Actually, I was in this time of training when this word was opened up to us back in the 70s. And Brother Witness Lee told us, some of the brothers had this thought, I don't need an education. I'm just going to clean swimming pools, you know, or you know, paint houses or whatever. I'm just going to do anything, you know, so I can survive. I'm just waiting for the Lord's coming back. And he told the brothers, no, you should go get an education. You should work hard. You should be diligent. You should give yourself. But don't give yourself like the worldly people do.
Right.
Don't be consumed with the thought of, I'm going to get this degree so I can make lots of money. So I can live more in the world and have more time with Mrs. World and Mr. Sin. No, we don't want to live that way.
Right.
We want to work in the field and grind at the mill and do what we need to do.
Yeah.
And gain God in the process.
Amen.
So here, we need to know Him, see Him, and gain Him.
Amen.
These ones who walked with God, what happened? Day by day, they gained God.
Wow.
They gained something. And they became precious. So that when the thief came, the thief desired to take them. They'll be the ones who are raptured. When the Lord returns, they'll be a real treasure to the Lord because they learned in their daily living.
Amen.
Not to run away, but to just do what you need to do in the world. Go to school, or go to work, do what we have to do, but walk with God.
Amen.
Don't live a life without God. Okay, next, what did Noah do? He proclaimed. Okay, what did that verse in Philippians say? We're living in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, but we're shining as luminaries. How? Holding forth the word of life. Do you know what it says concerning Noah? In 1 Peter it says he was a herald of righteousness. Okay, so what did Noah do? And do you know what Noah did will save you also? Okay, what did Noah do? He proclaimed. He preached the gospel.
Yes.
People might have thought he was absolutely crazy. Okay, what is this guy doing? Actually, we'll put the next one up here. He was building. So we also need to build up.
Yes.
So these two things outwardly, what should we be doing? If you want to be saved from this age, you need to do these two things. Proclaim the gospel.
Amen.
And build up.
Amen.
Okay, then you'll be very busy, especially if you're working in the field and grinding at the mill. Then on your free time, what do? Proclaim the gospel and build up with the saints.
Amen.
Okay,
amen.
Do what Noah did.
Amen.
Noah made it. Noah made it through the age.
Amen.
Okay? You want to be an overcomer.
Amen.
You want to be a fish swimming upstream.
Amen.
Do what Noah did.
Amen.
Okay? Proclaiming. The Bible says, and I need this verse all the time, it says, be instant. Proclaim the word. In season and out of season.
Amen.
Sometimes it's very inconvenient and you feel like, no, not now, not now. Okay? Like sometimes I've had the experience being on an airplane, sitting right next to somebody. You're next to them for like 6 or 8 hours. Are you going to proclaim anything? We have to open our mouths.
Amen.
Give them, hold forth the word of life.
Wow.
I had an experience just a week or two ago. I was traveling. I was sitting next to this lady. She was going somewhere, and I was going to the same place, and she told me what she was going there for, and I told her what I was going there for, and we had a very nice conversation. It was very pleasant. She was a very pleasant person, but I just felt like I just can't leave her without anything. So I asked her. Years ago, after I got saved, I wrote down my testimony, how I came to the Lord. And I wrote it up and put it in a little tract. So I pulled it out and I said, can I give you something that I wrote? This is my story. And she readily received it. And she took it. And I was very happy to at least hold forth a little bit of life. Okay, sometimes you can't preach the whole gospel from A to Z. But at least you can hold forth something. It's good not to be a secret Christian. Hold forth, speak out.
Amen.
It's going to tell people I'm a Christian. Okay, maybe that's good enough.
Right.
You tell someone, they invite you, maybe after you graduate, you get a good job, and all the guys on your job, they all go out afterwards to the local pub, and they ask you, hey, you want to come? Maybe you don't feel peaceful, you don't feel comfortable. You say, I'd rather not. I'm a Christian. I don't drink. Okay? Just that. It's good enough.
Amen.
Well, not only you're holding forth the word of life to them, but guess what? You're getting saved.
Amen.
You're getting saved from being dragged into the world.
Amen.
Okay? So, be a Noah. Proclaim. Don't be a secret Christian. Don't be hidden. Oh, I don't want to tell anybody I'm really a Christian.
Right.
Open your mouth.
Amen.
Let people know I'm a Christian. Give them a gospel tract. Be a herald. And then building up is very, very good. Noah was building a physical ark. What are we doing? We're building the real ark.
Amen.
We're building up something that will save us more from this age, from God's judgment. Okay, so we have to ask ourselves, are you building? Are you building up? Today, we're building up in spirit. How do you build up? You have to build up with companions. This is very key. Some of you maybe heard about this through your high school years in the summer schools of truth. And hopefully you didn't take it like, that's for kids. But actually, I need companions. I think Ken needs some companions. Even Andrew needs companions. We all need companions. So I asked somebody somewhere this week, I can't remember who it was. I asked somebody, tell me, who's your companion? Do you have a name? Who's a person that is your companion? We talk about this once in a while, and I actually had this experience years ago. Okay, I was at Ken's house before he lived in Champaign. And one night we had a group meeting at his house, and it was getting ready time to leave, and it was pouring down rain. Okay, so I told my wife when I was getting ready to go out the door, be careful, it's pouring out here. I mean, it was pouring. And then I ran out to the car, and Ken had a nice blacktop driveway. And I hit that driveway like a sheet of glass. And I went flying, and I ended up on my back under the rain in puddles of water, and I couldn't get up. Okay? But you know what? I had some companions. So actually, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, what's going to happen to you if you fall and you don't have any companions? If I didn't have any companions, I'd might still be laying out there. My companions picked me up and brought me in to the house. Okay, so gotta have companions. You think you're ever gonna fall? If you think you're never gonna fall, you don't know yourself. You're gonna fall. So, people fall. We don't want to fall. We hate falling. I hate falling, physically and spiritually. Okay? But if you fall, you better have some companions pick you up. You got to build up with others. The Bible says, flee and pursue with those. So you have to ask yourself, who are those? You should have some very specific names of brothers with the brothers. And that's another point. Brothers are brothers' companions. Sisters are sisters' companions. Okay? We should be sanctified in our companionships. Okay? But we need companions. Okay? To pick us up and to help us go on to build up with one another. in love. So, anyway, and we build up with our small groups. We should all have a small group. Are you all, each one of you, in a small group? Are you in a home? Do you have some older saints with you? Some parents caring for you, shepherding you? This is very good. Okay, then a couple more here real quick. Is what else did Noah do? I like this one. Noah not only proclaimed, built up, he entered in. Like the song we sang, he got into the ark. Okay, he was in it. He wasn't just an observer. He was building it, and he got into it. Okay, so don't be on the outside. We all know the story of a farm. The best place to grow is in the middle of the field. Okay, don't be on the edges. On the edges is where the traffic of the world goes, along the farm field. Don't be on the edge of the church life. Enter in.
Amen.
Enter into the ark.
Amen.
Enter into Christ. Enter into the church life.
Amen.
And there's one verse I like to tell you is very important for our Christian life, and that is in Hebrews 10:25. Paul said, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together." Okay, this is very, very key. In order to enter in, you've got to assemble. That's where the ark is. It's in the church meetings. You know, they used to have a children's song a while ago. It said, "The fish, they need water. That's the environment they need to swim in. The birds, they need the air. That's their environment." How about us? Believers,
amen.
We need the meetings.
Amen.
We need the church meetings. You want to stay encouraged, stay exhorted and incited and comforted and supplied? Enter in. Don't be on the edge. Enter into the church life. Assemble together. Don't forsake the assembling, especially on the Lord's Day. Assemble together with the saints. Okay, here's another one. Be separated. Do you know what happened? We all know the story. Eventually, the flood came. And guess what? There was a super separation of the eight souls who were entered in, were in the ark, versus all the others of the world, of the old creation, that were under God's judgment. Okay, today, spiritually, we need to be separated. We need to be a separated people. The Bible says, "Such were some of you, but now you are washed, you are sanctified, you're set apart." So, on the one hand, we should ask, you should ask yourself, have you been separated, even in the most basic way? Have you been baptized? Baptism is your separation. You're going into the water to Christ's death, separating you from all that is old and dead. All that is of the world and of the flesh is buried. Then you rise up to live in a newness of life in the new creation.
Amen.
Okay? But also, practically, some of us have had this experience. I did personally. When I got saved, I had a lot of old friends in the world. Okay, on the one hand, we want to proclaim, we want to be a luminary to our friends, but you have to be careful. Some of your old friends like being old, and they like going downstream, and they would love you to keep swimming with them, or not swimming, just floating downstream. Okay, and if you hang around them, there's a good chance you're going to go the same direction. So, like maybe this brother here, we've used this example before. This brother, if you were standing on this table and I was standing here and you tried to pull me up to the table and I tried to pull you down to the floor, okay, I'm a little bit smaller than him. Who do you think is going to win? Me. I'm older, weaker, but I still would win. because gravity's on my side. Okay? So what does that mean? You're a believer. Okay? If you hang around too closely with your old friends in the world, then there's no separation. You might be trying to bring them up, but they're also have a good chance, possibility of bringing you down. Okay, so thanks. So you got to be separated. There is a truth in the Bible. Be sanctified.
Amen.
Evil companionships corrupt good morals. Right? We have to be careful who we are associated with. Then finally, last one is be sober. It's kind of a sad ending to the story of Noah. Noah had such a good testimony. He was an anti-testimony. So many positive things, but at the very end of his life, he got a little loose. I don't know if he thought, I made it through. I'm an overcomer. I'm this, I'm that. Woo! You know, and he got a big head, and he started farming. He farmed a vineyard. He drank the wine. He got drunk, exposed himself. He fell. Okay, so we have to be careful. Pride comes before the fall. You might live a pursuing life, but be careful. Be sober. You're still a man in the flesh. Right? The flesh does not leave us. We have to continue to take this way and be sober. Okay, so let's read the next part here about Lot. How about sisters read B and 1 through 4? Okay.
Amen.
We all fall. We need brothers to pick us up. Okay. So how about Lot? Lot lived during a time of lawlessness.
Yeah.
And we know it was lawlessness in the height. I just cannot imagine if that happened to me at my house. People came banging on the doors like that. You would just be so fearful. What kind of unrighteousness, lawlessness is this? So, this spirit of Antichrist, this spirit of lawlessness, it is operating. Once in a while, you might actually see it. And see it in a very evident way, and maybe become even a little fearful. This is really dark. This is really rebellious. Today, we see all kinds of demonstrations going on all around the world. And the funny thing is, it seems like it doesn't matter who's in office, which political party. There's some people who are just rebellious. Okay? It's rebellion. Rebellion is against authority. Okay? Rebellion is against who, don't care who's in authority. Whoever is in authority, we're against you. And we want to change the laws to allow us to live a godless life. Okay? That is rebellion. That is lawlessness. Okay, now here's Lot. We want to learn some things from Lot very quickly. So Lot, we want to put this word on here, is don't. These are not, I don't know if you call them rules, but these are good principles. Don't be a Lot. We're going to tell you here, be a Noah. Yeah. Don't be a Lot. Yeah. You know what? Don't what? Don't just go along.
Yeah.
Okay? What did Noah do? I mean, Lot. You know what he did? Okay, maybe two brothers be quickly here. Okay, let's say this is Abraham. Abraham got the Lord's appearing. He got the Lord's calling.
Amen.
He started to respond.
Amen.
He wanted to follow. He didn't know where he was going. He was taking the way of faith. He just knew he had to get out of Ur of Chaldee, get out of Babylon, get out of all the idolatry. Follow. I saw it. The Lord appeared to me. I got the vision. I'm leaving. Now wait a minute. Here's his nephew, Lot.
Amen.
Okay? Lot was a believer.
Yeah.
Okay? Even the Bible says he was a righteous man. Okay, but there's no record saying that Lot got the Lord's appearing or the Lord's calling. So what did he do? It's not bad for a while. He tagged along with Abraham. He just kind of went along with Abraham. But eventually, time came where it became evident he did not have the same appearing. He did not have the same calling. And eventually, he started to deviate and take a different way. Take the way pursuing something on his own. Okay, thanks. So, what does that mean? We should pray. Sometimes brothers might be sharing, they see something. The Lord appeared to them. They're responding. And you say, whoa, what do they see? I'm not sure I see it. You know, what should we do? On one hand, it's not bad just to follow. But on the other hand, you better pray also, Lord, give me the same vision.
Amen.
I want the same appearing.
Amen.
I want to see what Abraham saw.
Amen.
Lord, you have to appear to me.
Amen.
So this is especially true for second generation. You know, fortunately, your parents saw something. They got an appearing. They responded in faith. They went out. Okay? That's good for your parents. And maybe that's good for you for a while to follow. But eventually, you have to have the same appearing.
Amen.
You have to have the same vision.
Amen.
So you need to pray, Lord, appear to me.
Amen.
Give me the same vision.
Amen.
I cannot just go along.
Amen.
It won't last.
Amen.
Okay. So, then, don't also what? Don't walk by sight.
Wow.
The Bible says, we walk by faith. Abraham walked by faith. He had faith in the unseen things. He saw something. The Lord appeared to him. He took that way. He didn't know exactly where he was going to end up. He didn't know the Lord was going to give him the good land. He didn't know, but he was just following, taking the way by faith. Lot, he was looking around and say, woo, that's a pretty rich area over there. I can tell something's happening over there. He was walking by sight. Okay? And so he started heading in that direction. He was one who took things outwardly according to his own choice, according to his own preference, and according to his own taste. Okay, then what else? Don't, this is interesting, gradually slide. I didn't know this till I read this yesterday. I just thought Lot moved right down into Sodom. He didn't.
Yeah.
He moved into the plains and set up his tent, and eventually he settled in Sodom. So we know this is a warning to us. A lot of times, your involvement with the world or with sin is gradual. You just gradually start drifting toward it. Okay? And eventually, oh my goodness, you find yourself in a place that is vexing. It's oppressive to your spirit. That's Sodom. Okay? So we should be careful. We should not live a life of drifting.
Yeah.
Hebrews said, don't drift. Don't drift. Make up your mind. What is your life for? Right? We should flee. That's definite. We should pursue.
Amen.
That's active.
Amen.
Be an active pursuer with those. Okay, then finally, number four is don't get alienated. I didn't know this. Do you know that Lot returned to Sodom 2 or 3 times? He was there once. These kings came and took over, yeah. Took him over and his family. Abraham went and fought for him and restored him. What did Lot do? He went right back. Okay? Then the angels came, rescued him out of Sodom before the fire and the brimstone came down to destroy that place. The Bible says he was lingering to go out. He was lingering. He still loved the world. And not only that, there's a real warning to us all. Something for you to consider. I haven't studied this thoroughly, but I'll tell you this. Don't marry Lot's wife. I mean, you're looking for a spouse. You know what she was? She was a world-loving, maybe believer. Okay? She totally turned back. And she became a pillar of salt. That means she was useless. We should have salt towards the world. But if we love the world, and we linger in the world, and we always turn back to the world, we become a pillar of salt, useless. Okay? We want to find a spouse who loves the Lord.
Amen.
Who loves the church.
Amen.
Who also wants to be an anti-testimony.
Amen.
Be an Antipas.
Amen.
Okay.
That's right.
We don't have more time. Let's just read through Roman number 3. Let's read together. Okay, there's the opposite side. There's a mystery of lawlessness operating, but there's also the mystery of godliness.
Amen.
The manifestation of God in the flesh.
Amen.
Okay, brothers, read A.
But if I delay, I write that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, and confessedly great is the mystery of godliness. He who is manifested in the flesh.
Okay, this is a great mystery. Godliness, what is it? It's God manifested in the flesh. Okay, sisters, one.
Godliness is verse 2 Timothy 3:16. It refers not only to piety, but also to the living of God in the church. To God as light lived out in the church.
Okay, A and B, brothers. Okay, sisters, too.
The church is something in the flesh, yet it is a manifestation of God. Thus, it is a mystery.
Okay, this is a mystery. You think about, what are we? We're just human beings.
Yeah.
We're just frail. We're weak. We're just human beings in the flesh, but so marvelous, so amazing. God could be manifested in the flesh today. He was manifested in the person of Christ.
Amen.
Now he's manifested corporately in the enlarged Christ, in the body of Christ, in the church.
Amen.
Okay, how about sisters B?
That we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all godliness and gravity. Godliness is profitable for all things.
Okay, brothers 1 and 2.
The manifestation of God in the flesh should not be limited to church meetings, but should also be found in all areas of our daily life, such as our family life, school life, and professional life. In our daily living, we should manifest God, not the current of the age.
Okay, this is the burden. Right, that we would manifest God. You can see in our meetings here this week, it's evident God is manifested in the flesh in all of us saints here. Okay, but we all know when you get out of this room, when you get driving home, when you go back to your school or go back to your summer jobs or whatever, it's not as easy. Okay, in family life, in daily life, God wants to be manifested in us. That's why it's so key that we take this way. Okay, Sister C. Brothers, one.
Ungodliness is the absence of the expression of God. Worldly lusts are the expressions of our flesh. Both should be denied that we may live God expressing and flesh restricting life.
Sisters.
Only those who live by God as grace can deny ungodliness and worldly lusts to live.
Okay, only those who live by God as
grace.
Grace. We need grace.
Amen.
Okay, brothers D, 1 and 2.
Exercise yourself unto godliness. Godliness is Christ lived out of us to be the manifestation of God. Today, this very Christ is the Spirit dwelling in our spirit. And to exercise ourselves unto godliness.
Okay, that's all with us. How about we all stand up? Strong spirit, read the focus all together. We'll wait till everybody's up here. Okay, let's go. God desires to gain the built up
church as a mystery of godliness. God manifested in the flesh for the fulfillment of his purpose and as an anti testimony.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's pray. Pray with your neighbor.